Let's sing that first verse.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
This is my favorite verse.
You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I love you more than any other, so much more than desire, and I long to worship thee. And I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver.
Let's sing that second verse again.
You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are the King of Kings. I love you more than any other, so much more than any.
Let's raise our hands and sing it with all of our hearts.
And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Amen. 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 I'm thankful for the opportunity to come here tonight and do just that. Appreciate our chance to be here. We've got several prayer requests tonight, and we're going to ask our Brother Terry, if he don't mind, to come up and pray over these just a moment. Let's remember Sister Judith Berry's oldest daughter. Oldest brother, I'm sorry. Gary Simpson, seriously ill. That's from Brother Byron Palmer. I'd like to thank the Lord for His mercy to Meredith. You know, we requested prayer. She was in a real serious accident on Wednesday, had to be airlifted from the scene. Surgery went well. She'll be in rehab a while once dismissed from the hospital. Thank you for your prayers, and they appreciate that. Meredith is going to be just fine, just some things that she needs to, you know, recoup from. But we thank the Lord for keeping her safe there. Please pray for our Aaron Howard family. All are very sick, unable to be in church. Also, Sister King, she has severe pain in low back and hip. Also for Brother Danny Torres, son Isaac, and also Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy. They're all sick. I think Brother Charlie was in the hospital till just one day this week, so been really ill. So let's remember them in your prayers. Linda Kennedy, pain in her abdomen, radiating to her spine, so let's remember that. Ashley and Courtney Babb, both not feeling well. Let's remember them. Lee Roberson family, my sister Shirley and their family. I guess that Lee Roberson, is that who passed away? Lee Roberson passed away last night. Battled cancer for a year or so. So Brother Reese turns that prayer request in. So let's remember that family. God help them through that loss. Please join us in prayers for Sister Christine Baker. She's been in severe pain all day. She thinks that it was a pulled muscle or something else. We're trusting the Lord to take care of her. Thanks so much for your prayers. And I'd like to, if you'll stand as Brother Terry comes, I'd like to thank the Lord for answering the prayer. I turned in a request for somebody at work, and the Lord's been moving in his situation. I just want to thank the Lord for what he's done there. So appreciate that.
That's good. Praise the Lord. Bow our heads, and shall we pray together? We'll believe for the desired result, and God will do it. It only takes faith. Lord Jesus, as we come before you, first of all, I want to welcome you into the service tonight. We invite your presence, Lord. We don't want just to have a meeting and say we gather together, but we want you to take the uppermost seat. You said we're two or three are gathered, that you'd be here. And so we invite you to be here. We brought, Lord, that portion of the Holy Spirit that we, all that's been born again, that we possess, Lord, and we like to get all these little licks of fire together. So Lord, and it become a great pillar of fire, as it were. And Lord, you come down among us and speak to us. Lord, it just come upon me just a little while ago how thankful I am for this dispensation of grace. I think back, Lord, even the Jews, how they were your chosen people in such a distinction and separation, even in Herod's temple, where there was six divisions and the court of the Gentiles being the lowest, and they were all separated by a feet of elevation. And only they could be on the outside, and they could never go any farther than that, but only the Jews and the women a little bit higher, and then the Jewish men, and then on up to the priests, and then the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. But Lord, all that has been changed now since the dispensation. Dispensation has changed. Whereas now you broke down the wall of partition and the barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the priest and the layman, and between the men and the women, and we can all now come into your presence. So thankful, Lord, for the dispensation of grace. How was it nobody outside the high priest could ever come into that presence of that Shekinah glory? But now, Lord, we can come in and know that a worshiper once purged has no more conscience of sin, no more desire to sin. Only in the dispensation of grace could you take away the desire for sin. Oh God, to come to the house of God and know that we have no desire to sin. We have no desire to practice sin. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He does not practice sin. Come among us, Lord. Speak through your servant tonight. I pray for these requests, Sister King, both of the Brother Scotty's girls who are sick, and different ones that he's mentioned are sick and ill. And I pray, Brother Byron's request, you know each one. They've been read. They've been mentioned. Lord, I pray that you would undertake in behalf of each one. Raise them up. Make them well. Let it be a testimony of your grace. Somebody's going to believe for them. Somebody's going to have faith. And somebody's going to hear a testimony that they were made well. And Brother Danny and Isaac and Brother Charlie, Sister Chevy, and different ones, Lord, different flus and things. Dear God, oh God, I pray you touch them. And we'll give glory to you because we know all healing comes from Almighty God. Bless the service tonight, all is done and said. As we get the privilege once again to come to the house of the Lord, we're happy. We're happy. As David said, I was happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I told someone tonight, I've been looking forward to this since last Wednesday night. coming to the service again. And in the morning and then next Wednesday, camp meeting. That's our desire, Lord, to come to church, to be in your presence, to learn of your will, do what's right, be a Christian. And our final reward be a rapture and a body change and going home to live with you eternally. We're thankful. Bless us tonight with your songs, your anointing, and most of all, Lord, with the anointing on the word that we might learn more of you and be more like you is our desire. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The reason that I'm standing, change songs on them here. You can be seated this evening. Thank you very much, Brother Terry. Let's just sing this together. Harry will start this for us.
I have stood for the gospel, and it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. Said, if you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. Stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought will fade from memory.
I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
When the reason that I stand
I've lost my way. So often I have stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought will be from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down. That I'm standing stands in front of me.
We will join the millions, every kindred, tongue, and race, and every child of God that day will look upon His face, and the heroes and the martyrs who died on pagan soul. We'll all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought will fade from memory.
Died on the pagan soul. together and declare, Jesus is Lord. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
F minor.
When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing,
help me,
like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang.
Let's go.
And I will sing, I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I'm gonna pray like Daniel prayed. I will pray, like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I'm gonna dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will love like Jesus loved. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will love like Jesus loved. I will
perfect love, then
the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will lead like Enoch led. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will lead like Enoch led. I will
Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. Sister Rebecca Horniak has a song for us tonight. I think she don't mind to come and sing for us.
Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. Jesus and let Jesus, than anything that this world affords today. Yes, I'd rather have my Jesus than anything that this world affords today.
I sure appreciate that song. That's a real beautiful voice that sets out there a whole lot. So hopefully he'll be up here a little more. We appreciate that. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and preach to us tonight. Let's sing this chorus together. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Start that for me.
Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak through me. Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong, make it right. Stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Let's sing it again. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Amen. Is that what we want?
Yeah.
If he can shine on us and shine through us, what a great thing.
Amen.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, if you would, tonight. Last Sunday morning, before I came out of the office, I was sitting back there as I always do, praying, looking at my scriptures, my quotes, and maybe 10 minutes or so before Brother Louis called me out. And the Spirit of God spoke these words to me. The power of assimilation, the pressure of assimilation, and the result of assimilation.
Amen.
So I'd like to speak to you tonight on that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now remember what assimilate means. Assimilation has to do with those that we fellowship with and who we hang around. And we become, either they become like us, or we become like them. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. You see what's happened? She has assimilated into the very message of the devil through the serpent. Now God, when she listened to God, she never saw that way. She saw it, stay away from it, leave it alone. But now she has assimilated and took on this thinking of the serpent. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she reached up and took the apple and ate of it, and she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we realize, Father, as we stand once again in your presence, we have been brought face to face with the living God. As we look into the reflection of your character, as you unfold yourself in your word, and we see the very nature of the mighty God, we will never be any closer until we behold your face that day. For you chose this way, the way of revealing yourself through your word, that we might be able to understand you better. I pray, Father, as we look into your word tonight, that you would help us. We need your illumination, Father, on the word to make it real. We can read it. We can study it. We can diagnose the words and try to read the dialects they are written in and the explanations and the meanings and so on and so forth. But we know that's not the only way that you deal with your people. Reading is wonderful. Finding the meaning of the words, it can make it more clear to us. But you're known by revelation. Make yourself known to us tonight, I pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We become assimilated to those with whom we have fellowship, with the objects by which we are familiar. Look at the meaning of the word now, assimilate, so you'll be able to understand which direction I'm going to go tonight, hopefully by the help of the Lord. Assimilate means to take in and incorporate as one's own. Absorb, to bring into conformity with the customs, attitudes, or to cause to resemble. Now listen again, assimilate is to take in and incorporate as one's own, absorb, to bring into conformity with the customs, attitudes, or to cause to resemble. Now, Satan really, in the book of Genesis here, in the account that we have of Genesis chapter 3, and most of us know this account very well. Our children could talk to us about it. But when you look at God's word, I find it so amazing that it's no wonder that you could take the very same Bible and be able to preach from it for 50, 60, 70, 80 years of a preacher's life, however long he'd be permitted to preach, and take from the same scriptures and take from the same passages of scripture, but according to the light that God has given you for this week or next month, you'll be able to take some of those same scriptures and bring it from a total different angle, because what changes it is the illumination of light that's shining on it. So you could preach on Jonah, you could preach on Noah, you could preach on Moses, the children of Israel, and according to whatever you're going through in that particular time or the light of God that's needed for that time, oh, you say, yes, I've heard the story of Noah, but maybe never heard it in this particular light. So God will take that word. That's why we don't need a new Bible. In every generation, a new Bible. All you do is take the same Bible, put different light on it, you got a whole new book. So you realize that God sending us a prophet in this day, he didn't send us a man that would rewrite the Bible. We didn't need a new Bible. We just needed an understanding of what was already written.
Thank God that God did it that way. Now, when we look at this and we see that what Satan is trying to do, he had never attempted a human being before. He had never come to a human being to try to undermine their understanding of God. So he's mixing the word with reasoning and a little bit of understanding, and he's trying to feel for what is going on. And no doubt the serpent is a yielded vessel which had a place for a soul, not having a soul, but having a place for a soul. And he become a yielded vessel that linked between man and the rest of the beast. And Satan was kind of feeling as he was going. And you can watch him as he will reorchestrate the words that he says. He does the same thing to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4. Whenever Jesus answers in a certain thing, and Satan will come back and reevaluate again and approach in a different way, he does you and I the same way. He'll kind of prod around a little bit to see where you are, how good you're feeling on Monday. If you're kind of strong, then he might hit you on Monday this way, and on Tuesday he'll hit you that way, because you kind of learned where he was going on Monday and he learned where you was going. So he does this that way. So he kind of refocus and reevaluate, and then hit us according to our weaknesses. It's like those of you that take a test. They've got them nowadays, I'm told. For those who are taking all kinds of different tests, as a friend of mine from down in Kentucky took one here just a few weeks ago. And it was a pretty smart test. And the computer software would actually, whenever he would take the test and answer, then the computer software would reevaluate where he was. And then it would go to hitting him in the area of his weaknesses. Now, had it been a man or a teacher, you know, like they used to give us tests years ago. No, I didn't go to school in the days of Noah, but it ain't really been that long that I went to school. But now the computer tells your strengths and your weaknesses, and it will begin to reevaluate, and it'll change the test according to where you are. Now you realize where that intelligence come from. It come from the devil. So here is the serpent anointed by the devil is checking out Eve, and he puts force into her, and now he attacks, as it were, the person of God, and he says, yea, hath God said. And we know that in the scripture in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that then when God started dealing with man in Genesis chapter 2, that he moves into the compound revelation of his name, which is Lord God. And when he started dealing with man, it was Lord God. So the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. So he puts the man, the spirit man of Genesis 2, in the body of man in Genesis 3, but he reveals it under his character or his identity as Lord God. But whenever the devil comes to her in the form of the serpent, he attacks her and he comes to her in the name of God. Now this is God, the very God, of course, who created the heavens and the earth, but he's trying to present him in a way that is impersonal. A God that does not feel. A God who does not understand where you are. A God that's trying to keep things from you. Now you know, as long as he would have said that to her, and it would have just come into her mind, it would have never weakened her. It would have never bothered her at all, until she begins to assimilate into what the devil is now saying to her. Now if she would have answered, the Lord God said, the Lord God said, the Lord God said, he is my father, he is my king, he cares about me, he loves me. But Satan, whenever he does this and he anoints the serpent to say that, yea, hath God said, not Lord God, not loving father, not compound redemptive name of God, but yea, hath God said, it won't bother her unless she assimilates that. Now she's fellowshipping with this, she hears these words. Now what is going on? She is now operating under the pressure of assimilation. Now she's going to really be proven whether she has the ability to withstand the pressure to assimilate under this demonic or satanic anointing from the devil himself. Now as the pressure begins to coincide with her weakness, then she begins to bend. She begins to break and say, yea, as God said, that you shall not take of this. Don't you understand what God's trying to do to you? God's trying to rob you. He's trying to keep things from you. Well, what kind of a loving father would have all of these good things in life and not want you to have them? Well, there must be something wrong with God that he would do it in that way. And you know, as long as it's now just coming to her and she is not assimilated to start thinking and becoming what is being said, it's an external battle. But once she takes it into her mind, into the womb of her mind, and she begins to think over. Now, we don't know exactly how much time lapse there was in between this time when the serpent said unto the woman, woman, yea, as God said. And the woman began to contemplate and think about it. Could have been 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. We really don't know, because the verse just goes from one verse to another to another. And it would lead us to believe that it was momentarily, you know, 1 second after another. But who knows exactly how long it was before the serpent had set his terms and presented this unto her and gave her a few moments or minutes, however long, for her to contemplate and think about what was being said. Now, she thought about it long enough to begin to assimilate what was being said to her, and it reshaped or refashioned her view of God. You say, how do you know that? I know that by the way she answered him back. Well, God has said. Now, she's saying about God in the same way that the serpent approached her about God. God chose to reveal himself to man in the form of Lord God, which was compound. But here now she is taking on the same way in order to describe him as the serpent. Well, God has said that we shall not eat of it or touch it, because if we do, we shall die. Now, already watch him now. From her response to his temptation, he knows that he's moved in and got a headway, because he begins to reevaluate what she said, and he approaches the attack in a total different manner. Now he's doing it in a more forceful, more liberal way, and he feels that her armor has been broken down. Now he can come in a more of attack upon himself. Oh, that's not true. You'll not die. Now, how come that he moves in such an aggressive manner? He's judging it by her response. He knows that she has now started to assimilate under the pressure. She'd never felt this before. Remember, this is the first human being that has ever been tempted. This is the first human being that has ever heard anything contrary. Up to this time, who knows how long that Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, and they had never heard anything contrary. They'd never heard lies. They'd never heard misrepresentation. They'd never heard anything questionable about the Word. They'd never heard the Word actually presented to them in a questionable manner, because God never done that. God didn't have a reason to do it. So they'd never heard the Word brought about in a polished up soothsayer type of way, which is what the serpent was doing. They'd never heard the Word put in such a way that the Word could be attacked or questioned in the form of a question. Now notice what he does. He doesn't begin with a direct assault against it, but he's simply asking a question, which seemingly, what's wrong with asking questions? Well, it depends on who the source of the question is. If the source of a question is from a sincere heart that desires to understand an answer, you know what? More than likely, there'll be nothing bad that'll come out of that question. But if the question comes from the devil, and the question about God's Word and the validity of God's Word comes from the devil, you better watch out. Because he has something in his mind. The reason he's asking you this question, he's laying a snare for you in order to entrap you. Amen. That's why I don't argue and debate and fuss with people. That's all they want to do. I'm not wasting my time with arguers. If it's people that want help, I'll spend all the time I need to help them. But if they want to argue and debate and fuss, why should I do it? Rob my time from feeding my sheep, make me all nervous and all that sort of thing. And when it's all said and done, they're going to believe what they believe. I'm going to believe what I believe. And there ain't been nothing accomplished. I've been better off to sit on my front porch, blow bubbles this big with bubble gum, and let it splatter all over my face and go in and wash my face. I'd be better off to do that. At least I'd have a clean face than I would to argue with somebody that only wants to argue. And you're the same way, friend. Why argue? Why spend all your time arguing and debating and all that sort of thing? There's nothing fruitful that comes out of these things. So the devil knows that he has now begun to persuade her under the pressure of assimilation. Now, it comes in a very sly, cunning manner, because it does not seem like threats. Now, remember, pressure can come in many different ways. Pressure that becomes under the form of a threat, many of us, automatically, you better do so-and-so, and you better do so-and-so. Well, if anybody approaches us that way, I mean, you know what, we're ready to say, all right, you want to rumble, come on. You ain't going to tell me what I got to believe. You ain't going to tell me. But But if they will come in a more sly, cunning way, it still can produce pressure. Some many people will bend under the pressure of assimilation because that pressure comes from mother, father, aunt, uncle, somebody that they love, and yet they will never threaten them. They will never, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to go to hell. You better do this, that, and other. No, it will come through suggestiveness. It will come through another way, but yet it is an element of pressure. Well, you know, he's always been good to me. He helped me do this, and my, he helped me sign for my first car, and oh my, you know, you don't owe your soul to him just because he signed the bank draft for you. But you realize Satan knew exactly what he was doing out to her, so he begins to question this. And what he wants to do is to get her to assimilate the words that he is now speaking, which, as I said, it can be no harm to her until she takes it within herself. Now, once she takes it within herself, she receives it in the womb of her spirit, which is her mind, and she begins to think over what's being said and contemplate. Now, God left it in a form of a question. Did God explain all the wherefores and the why? He did not. He doesn't need to. God doesn't need to explain why. It's the nature of kids to ask why. Y'all that's got kids know what I'm talking about. Go over and sit down. Well, why? Don't do this. Why? Don't go eat your supper. Why? Eat your green beans. Why? Eat your broccoli. Why? You think they stop doing that? They get past six. They still do it when they're 86. It's just something about human beings that we say why. And it's the same way in the Garden of Eden that now he had raised up a question and she thought, I never thought of that before. I'd never really thought about that. Now this really brings up a question in my mind. And now he's not attacking, of course, initially the validity of what God said, but he's bringing it to her in the form of a question that, as God said, I'm just asking you now. I'm just asking you. I'm just kind of sailing around through the Garden of Eden here, and I'm just asking you, has God said that y'all could do pretty much anything you want to in the Garden of Eden? Has God said that you can eat all these fruit of the trees and all that sort of thing? I don't know. I'm asking you, see. I'm just asking you. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to find out from you where you stand. Well, God has said that we can pretty much do anything we want to do. But look, God said, you know, this, no. That's not the way that it is at all. Why, God's trying to keep something from you. He's trying to rob you, girl. Don't you understand? If God, them preachers, you got to watch them. They're trying to keep you out of looking like the world and acting like the world. Oh, they've got something in their mind. They're trying to keep you out of, I do, hell. I'm doing my best to try to keep you folks out of hell. If you go, you will fight your way over a prophet, over his message, and over a pastor who loves you with all of his heart. If one of you go to hell, you will fight your way to get there. I want to tell you right now, I'm not going to let you go without a fight. Now, I'm not talking about this now. I'm talking about through the prayer and the word of God and love and all that. Now, we know the end result. Now, through the pressure of assimilation, then the power of assimilation is now released into her mind, and it refocuses or reshapes or changes her view about God, about herself, about her husband, and about this tree standing there, which was pleasant to the eyes and one desired to make one wise. I've never seen an apple tree like that, have you? I've never seen a Jonathan Gold or a Red Delicious or a Golden Delicious that made me feel that way about an apple tree. Praise the Lord. So there was something now that had reshaped her. So the power of assimilation now unites under the pressure of assimilation. And then the result of assimilation is, of course, she yielded to this. And then she brings it to her husband. He under now the pressure of assimilation of knowing what his wife has done. He is a son of God made in the image of God. Him knowing that God would come down shortly in the evening as it was God's custom. And he knew that God would kill her. Because she had now done wrong. So he is now under the pressure of assimilation in a different way. Either he assimilates and becomes what she has become, or God will destroy her and he has no more feminine spirit in his body. So what does he do under pressure? He assimilates with her and assumes this great responsibility. Then what was the results of assimilation? This day that you eat thereof, this day you shall die. Go from the Garden of Eden. Now, let's turn to the book of Numbers. There's many, many places we can use tonight, but let's go in this direction here. Numbers chapter 13, verse 21. Here we have the children of Israel. come out of the land of Egypt. They've been out now about around 2 years. They've been from one stage of their journey to the next. They are standing right on the threshold of going into the land of promise. Moses sends 12 spies out into the land. They are gone for 40 days. They're going to, from the north, the south, the east, or the west, to spy out the land and see what the land looks like so they can come back and give a report to the children of Israel. Now, messengers are very important. Messengers can be able to relate something that has such value or such detriment. It will depend upon the messengers. Two messengers can look at exactly the same thing and bring two totally different reports. Notice now, Numbers 13:21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men cometh to Hamath. And they descended by the south, came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Ashiah, Tamai, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, which means cluster, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates of the figs. Now, ancient travelers had written in their journals that traveling through Palestine and also the country of Syria, that the grapes were so large that a cluster of grapes, one cluster of grapes, could weigh from 25 to 45 pounds apiece for one cluster, and that those grapes were the size of plums. Now, maybe you don't like grapes, but just parallel this now with your land. Parallel this with your land. If their land had clusters that size and grapes that big, what has your land got? What is your spiritual inheritance got? Glory! And the place that was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now let's look again at the, before we go into the message, now what they're going to say. So all of these men have come out of the land of Egypt. These men have seen the miracles of God. They've seen the supernatural. They have eaten manna. They've been baptized into the Red Sea. They've seen the hand of God move. They've seen the pillar of fire. They've heard the wind as it would move through the tabernacle. They've seen the glory of God shine upon Moses' face. They saw the glory that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and how that Moses' face had to be shielded or veiled. So these men were not outsiders that had not seen anything. But these men had ate of the manna, as I said, they had ate of the quail that come flying in. They'd seen the blessing of God, the glory of God, they had tasted of the word of God. So these men were identified, as we'd say, on the message of that day. Or they would have not been chosen to go into the land in a further understanding and then come back and tell the people what they saw. Now, they're going to get their chance to be able to unload and tell what they've saw, as now they have been studying the land for now 40 days. And they told them and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us." Now notice her terminology very carefully. "We came us unto the land that thou sentest us." That thou sentest us. That thou sentest us. Notice, they leave God totally out of the picture. "We came to the land which thou sentest us, and surely," brother, sister, I want you to listen to the deceit of the devil. Their craftily engineered report begins with seemingly a positive affirmation that the message was right. Now watch, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Now, you know, you can see right off that we're dealing with demons that are inspiring these people What is fixing to happen? The pressure of assimilation is fixing to be conjured up, but the power of assimilation is forerunning the pressure, and the power of assimilation comes from the world of the abyss, or the world where demon spirits have been assigned to with chains of darkness. And they are now anointing these men to bring up an evil report, as the Bible calls it. So they do not start out blasting the prophet. They do not start out blasting the message and blasting the land. But they said, it's a good land. And here's the fruit. It's a good land, but... surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, in spite of the evidence produced, in spite of all the things that's happened, we still have some questions. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. So? Tell me something that's supposed to bother me. If a preacher gets up and tells you the devil is bad, you say, so? The devil hates you. So? The devil's out to get you. So? He's out to get me because he ain't got me. And he ain't going to get me because I belong to the mighty God. You belong to the mighty God. Glory. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walls. I mean, what do these people have in their mind? That they're going to go over here in this land and they're just going to find kindergarten kids? I mean, they're going to find playgrounds. They're not going to find cities. They're not going to find wall cities. They're not going to find people that know how to fight. They're just going to go everywhere they go. There's going to be midgets everywhere. And they're just going to have plastic toys. And they're going to be sitting around with Tonka toys playing in the dirt. Come on, what did you expect? What did you expect when you came to Christ Jesus? Did you expect everybody was going to love you? Did you expect everybody was going to pat you on the back? Oh my, now notice the pressure of assimilation. So here we have 10 men, and we have a congregation that they're preaching to of about 2.5 million. 10 men with such power of assimilation can change a whole multitude. If 10 can change 2.5 million, and you think one can't affect you if you get around the wrong one? Come on, friend, don't be strong in your flesh. Be strong in the power of the Lord and His might. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. Great! That means when we move in, we don't have to build new walls. Except around Jericho. Hallelujah. They got walls. They got gardens. They got cellars. Man, when we move in, we just move straight in. The rent's done paid. The lights is done turned on. The sewer works. The water works. Everything's all right. We just move in. It really depends on how you look at it. Now, what are they doing? They're trying to pressure these people. Man alive, you imagine Caleb sent over trying to get up. Hush! Hush! Oh, wait a minute, you let that hush! Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. That's very good to me. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. Giants. The children of Anak. You remember how many there were, don't you?
You don't. Well, let me tell you. The Bible tells us how many there were. Three. As a matter of fact, Caleb got to wipe them all three out. Now they are acting as if they are presenting this land as if everywhere they went, they saw giants. There was only three. There was only three sons of Anak. But they are taking the faults look like, the mistakes look like, and blending it into a powerful message of assimilation based upon contorted facts and twisting it around in the minds of the people. What would you have believed if you would have stood there and said, man, this guy's been in the message for 40 days. He's been searching the message and he's been everywhere and he's bringing all this out. And you mean there's giants everywhere? Pressure of assimilation. Oh my, moreover, we saw the children of Anak. Now watch what they're doing. They're exaggerating this account. Can you imagine the minds now of them people? They hadn't been there, so they didn't know. They didn't have the ability to sort it all out. Man, I'm trusting you, and I'm trusting you. Go over and check it out and come back and tell us. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, you can't believe it. You never seen such cities in your life and the walls as everywhere. And we saw the children of Anak, but conveniently left out how many they saw. What are you going to do, Happy Valley? You going to see three and head for the hills? You going to see three children of Anak and run? Oh God, oh God, oh God, and everybody's going to be this bad. I want to be like Uncle Caleb. If I have to wait 40 years, come on, children of Anak, come on. Oh my. I'm sure many of you, original church people here, you remember when I first came here 20 some years ago, over in that little building over there, one of the first sermons I ever preached to you was, able or not? Are we able to go? I ask you the same thing. Are we able or not? These 10 men were walking by sight and not walking by faith. So everything they see terrorizes them. And in their imagination, since they're not walking by faith, if they saw three, then in their mind they're thinking, oh my goodness, that if there's three, there could be thousands of them. There could be thousands of giants. And these guys might be the little ones of the family. Oh my goodness, the uncles and the grandpas and the great-great-grandpas. Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. Oh, there's no telling how big they are. And there's probably tens of thousands. And then time they went around and talked to her and believed, there's not tens of thousands. I thought I heard somebody say there's hundreds of thousands. Oh no. Hundreds of thousands. Did you tell Joshua? They ain't even telling him. He's got another spirit in him. Oh, what about Caleb? They ain't even telling him either. He's crazy. The man is crazy. He believes we can actually do this. Caleb actually believes we can go in and take this land. Oh, hallelujah, Caleb. Yes, sir, brother. I believe there's some Calebs right here tonight. I believe there's some Calebs left in this message that say we can take our inheritance and there ain't enough devils in hell to keep it away from us. Now, what's their powerful sermon on assimilation? Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So, am I supposed to be scared? Just sounds like a bunch of ites to me. Whether they're Amor or Hit or Cain or whatever they are, they're just ites. An ite is an ite. My God can take care of all the ites. Let me tell you something, friend. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Don't you ever forget this simple statement. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted.
Don't you understand why God will allow our faith sometimes to be shook almost seemingly right down to the very core when your feelings and your family and everything is saying, Lord, what in the world is going on with me? Because God wants you to have a faith that you can trust in. And if God cannot allow your faith to be tested, you cannot trust that faith. These men did not have the faith that could be tested. It was all sight. Look at everything they're looking at. We saw the children of Anak. We saw the cities. We saw the walls. We saw the Hittites. We saw the Jebusites. They never mentioned one thing about a promise. They never mentioned one thing about, we saw what God said. Caleb had been nice this whole sermon. Although he thought it was unbelief. Verse 30. And Caleb. The name Caleb means wholehearted. Y'all can start calling me Donald Caleb Reagan. Wholehearted. That's the way I want to serve my God. Don't you? You imagine old Caleb standing there, man, waiting for his opportunity. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Now can you imagine these other 10 guys said, what is wrong with this man? Is he nuts? Was he not there? He probably saw more than they saw. He probably saw Brother Andy. He saw sure a man of faith. He's not a fool. He don't say, oh, there ain't no trouble. There ain't no sickness. Many times he'll see it more than the man that's looking by sight. But he looks at it the right way. He looks at it through divine inspiration of the promise of God. Caleb probably saw more giants. He saw more walls. He saw more battles, but he's ready to take it. He said, let's go up right now. Let's not even wait till tomorrow. Let's do it tonight. Children, why would we want to wait till I have church in the morning? We're all already here tonight. Let's just have church tonight. Now watch. Caleb's looking on the faces of the congregation. And he can see the people are starting to assimilate this report. So before he ever starts, he steals the people. Why do they need to be stilled? Because they're all tore up. Amen. So he steals the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Let's go up at once. And the word means without any delay. I've been polishing my armor on the way back. I was fixing to make a return campaign. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give me men like that that'll stand with me. God, give me people like that at Happy Valley that'll stand with me through the thick and the thin, the up and the down, the in and the out. Amen. They don't have to be babied and petted and treated like a bunch of babies, but they're willing to stand there and draw their sword. If death takes my life, if Satan is allowed to do this or that, let me stand on the word of God. I'm more than able. I'm more than able. I've said I'm more than able. Let me read you this, what the Lord gave me this evening. The power of assimilation had illuminated Caleb, and he could resist the pressure of assimilation from the false witnesses, and the result of assimilation was he got his mountain. Amen. The power of God had already, he had so been assimilated into the message of the hour. Amen. Their pressure wasn't going to stop him. We've talked about the press for years and years around this message. We've all had our ideas and our opinions of what it might be. The bride under pressure about this and that and the other. It might be a whole lot different than what we're thinking, though. We know how it is, and folks are going to feel a little bit of pressure. The crowd will get down. Folks will be looking for another church to go to, but not Caleb's. They'll still stand right there with the word of God and the promise and say, we're more than able to take it. Don't you understand? This age wants us to bow to the pressure of assimilation.
Don't preach on sin no more. Don't preach on illegal living no more. Why? It's political assimilation that we become like everybody else and shut our mouths to what's right and wrong.
Oh my. Notice these preachers now, men. But the men that went up with him said, "We did not aim up! You're a liar! You're a liar, Caleb!" We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Well, that may be so in reality. Stronger than us humans. But they ain't stronger than us and God. Caleb wasn't talking just about himself. He was talking about him and his fighting buddy. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? My Lord, if I was looking at me, dear God, to face this end time and me facing, there ain't no way I'm going to bury my head in the sand before church is even over. But if I'm talking about me and my fighting buddy, tell me what can stand in the way. Death or hell or the grave or politics or this nation or the world cannot stop a man that's anointed by God. As long as he's standing in the place of God, he is the voice of divinity. He is the voice. So are you, church. You're not just another church building, but you are the Messiah. You are the anointed one, the wife of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You are his anointed. If I've got to assimilate something, why not assimilate deity? If I've got to assimilate someone, I'd assimilate truth instead of Laodicea. If I'm going to be under the power of assimilation, let it be the power of the Holy Ghost that shakes me around like a rag doll and fills my soul. But the man that went up with him said, "We be not able, so here stand against one." And Joshua went too, but for whatever reason, Joshua wasn't supposed to say nothing. So Caleb is outnumbered 10-1, and they all claim to believe the same message. You see, this is the conclusion of unbelief, the result of sight when God is left out. We can't do it. There's no way we can. We might as well compromise. We might as well just quit this and that and the other. It's too dangerous. My, somebody might kill us. Really? My, somebody might hate us. Really? I'm just hoping somebody might like us. I never have to worry about fulfilling that scripture. Woe be to the man that everybody speaks well of. That's never been one of my scriptures. I've had too much to worry about. Especially as we go on in time, for sure. Now watch, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report. And the word evil is whispering, defamation, unfavorable saying. So they're defaming what? The land. They are defaming, they're accusing the land, and indirectly, they're coming back now at Moses, and they're aiming toward God. But where they begin to find their faults is in the land itself. It's not at all like I thought it was going to be. I mean, I just knew when we walked in, there's going to be castles and mansions and palaces and Cadillacs and Rolls Royces. Everywhere. You're in the wrong state. You need to be on down south farther. Man, I thought there'd be no troubles. You'd lay your burdens down and there'd never be. Oh, you must have skipped those scriptures where Jesus said about taking up your cross. You must have skipped those ones where Jesus said whenever they cast your name out as evil and all that sort of thing, leap for joy and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So you know, they look at the land and they come back and they want to share their assimilation of what they have seen, and they want to put pressure on the people because these men don't want to go. Don't worry about that. They won't be going any farther. And they brought up an evil report, which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we've gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Now look at these Hebrew words. It is, the land is so dangerous. People are dying off like flies. There's diseases everywhere. And the land is so poor that the land can't even support the people. But didn't you help pack these grapes that come in? Oh my. If it's so barren, where did y'all get them grapes? If it's so barren, why do they have all these walled cities to protect this land, which is supposedly so bad? Why didn't you meet people on the way out of the checkout line flying out of this place because it's so terrible place to live? Why did they have such walled cities, and some of them are 50 feet high? And this is what they said, that they imagined that there was bunches and bunches of giants because the walls were so tall. And remember, the Egyptians were very small people. They were very small in stature. They were very frail. Many of them were very, very skinny and small. So whenever they come over here and saw these great big guys, and they saw these big old walls, they thought the giants was laying them stones one by one on top of another. So if you've got a 50-foot wall, that means you've got at least a 70-foot giant. I mean, hey, it takes more faith to believe that than it does the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope you don't misunderstand this. But it is easier for me to believe that I'm bride. It's easier for me to believe I'm part of the resurrection. It's easier for me to believe I'm part of this word than it is for me to believe I'm lost. Somehow I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that I'm going to hell. I just can't believe. That don't come easy for me to believe. Why? There's something in me. I have assimilated something. It's pressure from the power of God. I'm living under the power of God. And what will be the result of my assimilation? A body change. Oh, hallelujah! The result of my assimilation will be a body change. As you can tell, I've been assimilating this message before I preach it to you. And I'm having a pre-rapture right now. The land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Really? So now it's grew since the other time when they preached this sermon. No, it grew from a handful to now everybody's big. Everybody's 30 feet tall. My, they got hands the size of a hog. You know, my goodness. Big old eyeballs about that big around. Teeth the size of a pine tree. They just step out on the porch and go, rah! And you just faint. Everywhere we looked, it was all giants. Liars. Liars. Come on, don't get quiet on me. They were lying. These people who are attacking this message and send everywhere they look as lies, they are the liars. Don't you see the same thing's going on today? Folks are bringing an evil report of your land. Well, Brother Donnie, they'll attack you. Ha ha, that's only half the story. I'll attack as well. I am called to defend this word. I am called to stand for this word. I will die for it if necessary. I'll go to jail for it. I'll go to prison for it if need be. That report was dishonest. It was not truthfully representing the land of Canaan. So listen, Happy Valley. If you would have clicked on these guys' websites and read their version of the land of Canaan, what would you have believed? Now, isn't there safety in numbers? So here you've got 10 men that are saying the same thing. And you've got one guy that's standing there saying opposite, and one more guy, Joshua, he ain't saying nothing. Well, in the multitude of counsel, I'll tell you, man alive, surely to goodness, 10 men wouldn't be wrong. I mean, the odds, 10 against 1. Look, reckon Caleb took his medicine before he went? He did. Holy Ghost medicine, he was full of it. And you know what? He was willing to stand right there and said, I'm not bound to you guys' pressure. You imagine them cutting their eyes over at him and looking at him. Shut up, shut up, don't drop, I'll get you after church. You ain't getting me after church. I'm saying what's the truth. I'm going to stand for what's right. Don't you imagine Joshua standing there? Joshua hadn't said a word. Moses standing there, said, okay, brothers, what did you all see? Tell me what you all think about the message. It's a land full of giant mistakes. Imagine old Caleb was trigger happy. And old God's telling them giants to have a hard time keep his hand off that sword. Imagine he got up there to preach. He went, whew, watch him. Oh boy, here he goes. Let's go get it right now. I said, what is wrong with him? Don't he know we could get killed? Don't you know you could have got killed going to Walmart today? If I'm going to be killed, let me be on my epitaph. I got killed for the gospel instead of at least trying to find a parking spot at Walmart. You better get killed trying to get one anymore, boy. You take somebody's place, my goodness. But you know what? This man was able to stand there and them other guys said, shut up. You shut your mouth. They said, don't you tell me to shut up. I know what I saw. And what I saw through assimilation. I saw it through my diet. How could you say that? What I was eating was helping me to see it correctly. Your mama or you mothers ever, how can I say this to not devalue? If your children need to eat certain foods and they have a deficiency in the length of their hair, say if it's little girls, and they want their hair to grow. I find it so amazing how many things I've heard Carol and Alicia and Erica tell their girls what makes their hair grow. Of course, I heard it all my life. Eating carrots makes your eyes better. Eating broccoli does this, that, and the other, which I've never believed that lie. It just, it helps with that, and eats that, it helps with that. But you know what? Caleb found there was a truth to that. I believe there is a truth to it. I believe according to what you feed on and what you, if you feed on a bunch of trash and a bunch of garbage and a bunch of gossip and a bunch of nonsense, that's all you're going to look everywhere you look is gossip and nonsense. But if you feed on the things of the Word of God, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are faithful, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of a good report, it will change your vision. It will make you to go around where you'll be looking for the right things and the good things and the holy things. That's what you feed on. So they see a few giants, and by the time they get done with their sermon, the whole land's full of giants. The country everywhere's full of walled cities, and the people are emaciating away.
dying of starvation. I got plums the size of the grapes, the size of plums. The land is so poor and it's so pitiful. Other people in the message, they're just wasting away. No, you got the wrong idea. No. You got the wrong idea. We're not wasting away. We eat so much and we're so big we just can't hardly get around. We're not wasting away. We're not starving to death. We got so much spiritual blubber on us, we have to roll over like a bulb of whale. Hey, man, brother, don't you tell me there ain't no good eating in this word. I believe if it lasted 1,000 years, preachers in this message would still be finding something to talk about. We're just like walruses piled up on the beach. You imagine mentioning a Dr. Atkins diet to them. I ain't never been so fat, so full, so drunk, so in love with God in all of my life than I am right now. It gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, you say, I'm getting so sick of it. I'm not sure what you're eating, but it must not be the same thing I'm eating off of. Oh, hallelujah. I'm under the influence of the power of assimilation, and I feel pressure. Don't you feel pressure too? I do. It's the pressure from on high, pressing this word inside of me to mold the stature of a son of God until I can be changed. Pressure just ain't from the evil world. It's also from the light world. So when they bring this evil report against the land, they slander God. These folks in their letters and their websites and their forums and all they do, when they slander this word, they are slandering God. Let them say what they want to about me or you. That don't really matter, no way. But when they bring against this word, so their evil report, they slander God. Let's jump ahead here in Numbers 14:37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. What is it? Self-destruction. Notice again now these spies, they want to cap off the sermon. Verse 33. There we saw the giants. Oh boy, here we go again. The sons of Anak. You do know what the word Anak means, right? Long neck. But to a man of faith, he looks at a long neck, bigger than a weakling coward. A weakling coward is mesmerized. I've never seen such a neck. When Caleb sees it, he goes, whoa, 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 I've never seen such a neck. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. They wanted to remind them this was a long pedigree of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now reckon how they knew that. They went and asked them. Sir, son of Anak, can you tell me, do I look like a grasshopper in your sight? How can these ignorant people sit there and listen to that trash? How
second millions of people sat there and never questioned this. And they get under the pressure of this and accept it as if though this is the truth.
What a way to see yourself. So you look at your enemies and you see them as giants. And you look at yourself as a grasshopper. You don't even look at yourself as a dwarf human being. But you look at yourself as a subspecies.
They're not just a big man. You're a little man. You're not even a man. You're a bug.
Thank you, Lord, for this sermon.
You say, how in the world can them people do that? The same way you and I do. When you're a giant of cancer, or you're a giant of family trouble, or you're a giant of financial trouble, or you're a giant of your children trouble, whatever it is, and you look at yourself and say, I don't know what I can do. It's bigger than me. There's no way I can do it. You're doing exactly the same thing they've done. Don't condemn them when you do exactly the same thing. And you look at yourself, and you know what you're doing? You are slandering the work of the cross. You are slandering years of what God has sent to your lives by anointed preachers. You are slandering years of work and growth that Almighty God has invested in you. And looking at yourself and saying, I'm worthless. So you're calling all of God's work on you trash. The years that God has put on men's heart to preach something for you and you and you. And you look at that and call that junk and trash. A waste of time. You see what you're doing? You're slandering God's work.
As much time as He's invested in me, I must have some worth. Oh, you must have some worth, saints. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? I build furniture and I make different pieces of wood and this, that, and other. And if I got a piece of walnut or burl mahogany or crotch mahogany or something other, and if it's warped, I might be able to cut it out. If it's got a knot hole that's not too big, I might be able to cut it out. I might be able to pull the stain away from that and actually look like a big eye in there to where it's there. But if it's bad enough, I ain't going to fool with it. I'm going to rip it down. I'm going to get rid of it. You think I'm going to spend 50 years on something and waste my time? If God has been fooling with me all of these years of my life and you're going to tell me I'm going to hell, I tell you, you're crazy. There ain't no way in the world God would have invested this much time in me and spent all this time on me and no hope for me. There ain't no way in the world. I must have some worth. I must have some value. You must have some worth and some value. He sees something in you. And it ain't a grasshopper. I said it ain't a grasshopper.
So here they close their sermon out. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak.
But let me move over here about 40 years, if you don't mind.
That's good.
To Joshua chapter 15, verse 13. Let us look at the result of Caleb's assimilation. Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua. Even the city of Arba. Arba was where these giants started at.
So Caleb, Caleb ain't going to get to fight them, but Caleb actually gets where they started. You imagine him chomping at the bit. Lord, don't put me on the sidelines. Don't let me be a water boy. Let me be a quarterback. Let me be right out there in the middle of the action. God said, all right, Caleb, I honor your spirit. I honor your attitude. I honor you. I'm not going to put you 375 miles due north and 118 miles due south. I'm going to put you right in the middle of where they started. I'm going to let you attack this giant from the very place where it began. I'm going to give you Arba. I want to give you Arba.
according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak. Which city is Hebron? Hebron. This is Caleb's inheritance. This is where God comes in the form of flesh. Hebron. We ain't got time to go there tonight. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, the ones that caused these other cowards to shake in their breeches. Or the robes, I'm going to say war breeches. They stood there shaking. Oh, we saw the sons of Anak. And I'm going, what's that? I remember them bunch of devils. Oh, long neck. You wait till I get down to you. Let me close. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now see, when you go to picking the promised land which was foretold by the prophet, you go to picking the land that he talked about, then eventually it'll come back to him. And they'll pick him. Then eventually it'll come back to the Levites. The ministers who still preach in the land. And the whole congregation said unto them, what God? We would have died in the Baptist church. I wish I'd never heard of this message. I wish you hadn't too if you're going to backslide from it. Because you'd been better off to die in that Baptist church than to come and sit in heavenly manna and turn and walk away and go back to that vomit. Would that God would die in the land of Egypt? Or would God would have died in this wilderness? Let me close. Do you understand where this is geographically? Where they're standing at Kadesh. From where they're standing with the natural eye, they can actually look westward and northward and see the mountains of Palestine. They are that close. They don't even need prophetic vision, Brother Tom. They can stand so close. Do you understand where we are? We are so close. We can almost see the lights of home. And people are turning away now. We're closer, Brother Harold, than we were 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever you moved down here from Virginia. We're closer now than we've ever been. And people are turning back from the border. We're right, oh Lord have mercy, we're right at the border. Don't you get a glimpse of it every now and then? Don't you feel the breeze is blowing off the river of life? Oh, hallelujah, don't you feel the atmosphere coming from the throne of God? We're standing right at the border. And people are turning away. Stand up. Every one of our giants may be different. Yours might be in your marriage. It might be with your children. It could be in your body. Some folks, they wrestle so with their health. They get over one giant in their body and they face another. Them giants can be discouraging. All giants don't intimidate by fear. Some giants intimidate by ridicule. You see, when Goliath of Gath came out to mock the children of God, he knew he'd call their bluff. So he'd walk up and down there every day and just make fun and ridicule of the people of God. Well, he'd throw a curse out every now and then, a threat. But really, it was only done in a joking manner. Because he's intimidating them, laughing at them. Until his cry fell on the wrong ears. looked like the least qualified guy in the whole place. He didn't even really know how to use a shield or a sword. All he done was polished it. But he did know how to use a sling. Brother Donnie, I'm not a preacher. I don't understand Greek and Hebrew and all that. I don't either. You know what? You're not called to. But when you're making them biscuits, use your sister's sling. Sisters are qualified to use sister slings. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right, sisters, as long as you're using your sister's sling. When you get in trouble, it's when you try to take your husband's sling and use his. God gives every child of God a sling. Praise the Lord. Oh yeah, I'm not qualified to do this and another. Get in your place, and if God calls you to that place, you're qualified. If you're a sister and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're qualified to conquer devils in this age. Maybe not like a prophet, maybe not like a pastor, but every God-called man, woman, boy, and girl is called to conquer demons in the age that we live in. And there will not be one devil that will be left unconquered in this age. Before this bride leaves this world, every devil will be under our feet. And I tell you tonight, we are more than able. We are more. Let us arise at once and possess our land.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The power of assimilation, the pressure of assimilation, the result of assimilation. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be not conformed, assimilated. Don't change to their habits. Can't you see it's where we are? Politically correct. Making sure this is right and that's right. Suiting what the left thinks and suiting what the right thinks and suiting what the middle thinks. I'm more concerned about suiting what the middle up there thinks. There's neither left nor right up there. It's all right. I ain't talking about Republican right. I'm talking about God right. We're so concerned about the left and the right and what they think and they think. We better be concerned about what he thinks. The Republicans do not have the key to the rapture. Neither do the Democrats nor the Libertarians or the President or Congress. The Lord God is the only one that holds that.
Oh, you imagine Caleb's heart. We'll look at it in the morning. When God says, because of your unbelief, you will not taste my land. You will go around in this wilderness for 40 years. You imagine Caleb's heart, Brother Jim. It just sunk. God, me too? Me too?
Amen.
I know this is sad, but it's wonderful as well. Because it shows that God would hold back an advancement of some that already, for those that aren't, who have a predestinated portion in the land. Aren't you glad? Maybe there's people in Africa that's already ready. Maybe they're waiting on us. Maybe there's people in Trinidad or, you know, wherever it is. Maybe they're already ready and they're waiting on us. I'm glad the Lord won't call the rapture just for them that's ready. I'm glad he's going to call it for everyone whose name is written in that Lamb's book of life. What if I'm the last one to submit? What if you're the last one or you're the last one? The rapture will not go till every member of that body gets in her place. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
You imagine Caleb having to wait for 40 more years.
That's right.
He keeps on getting more aged and more aged. But I can hear it of a nighttime. What's that noise? What's that strange sound? Not to worry. It's Caleb. He goes there and there every night sharpening that sword.
Y'all ought to take a lesson from Uncle Caleb. Don't put your sword up and reach it once a month. You better sharpen her every day.
Hallelujah. You imagine them young believers as they'd gather in his tent and say, tell us again. What was it like? Them grapes. Was they really that big? Them was the biggest grapes
I ever seen in my life. He'd reach up there and he'd go to slobber like a horse. He'd go over. Oh man, alive. What was up there like? It was, I'm telling you, it was the lamb falling with milk and honey. Really, really? You mean is that real? Is that real? I've been there. You've been there, yeah. I was laying up on the bed and I kind of raised up in the bed and I kind of put my arms up on the head of the bed and I thought, if I'm going to do anything for God, you better get to doing it. And I thought, I always wanted to do something for Him. And I got to hearing them words of that song, let me look past the curtain of time. And I heard a voice say, would you want to look past the curtain of time? I believe it helped me so much. And all of a sudden, he lifted out of his body. And I looked back there. He said, about 20 feet from my body. About 20 feet from my body. And there he was looking at his body. And I saw bluegrass. And I saw young men and women come running, screaming, our precious brother. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, children, it's worth everything we fight. We've got one who's been there and come back and said, it's real. It's there. And I saw all of you all there. Yeah. Hallelujah. I saw you there. You imagine Caleb, he'd get up about there. Wow! Careful, Uncle Caleb. Caleb, whoa, glory. Hallelujah. Boy, I ain't what I used to be, but man, I sure love it when he comes on me that way. Sit down here, Uncle Caleb. Sit down. Children, it's real. When I came here, I was a young man. Now I'm an old man. 58 years old. But I'm here to tell you tonight with just as much stamina. It's just as real. Wasn't our first step feet in that door right over there? It's even closer now than it was then. Well, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Where I'm bound. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? There'll be no giants in that land. Be no giants in that land. There'll be no giants of sickness or trouble in that land where I'm bound. There'll be no giants in that land. There'll be no giants in that land. Oh, let's sing it together now. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? How many wants to go? How many wants to go? Oh, don't you wanna go?
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. There'll be no Ebola in that land, friends. There'll be no trouble in that land. No violence. There'll be no racial troubles in that land. No pestilence. No sick babies. No graves. No heartaches. No troubles. Oh, don't you want to go? I've got a taste of it tonight. Hallelujah. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got that taste down in your soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, let's just raise our hands in the presence of the great King. We worship you tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus, we believe you who made the promise. You will still keep the promise. May we not get our eyes on the giants. May we not get our eyes on the walled cities. May we not get our eyes on all the negative things around us. But may we focus directly into the face of Jesus that we might see the glory of God. That you might amorphe yourself in your servants, Lord. Hallelujah. May we be holding ourself, Lord. Beholding as in a glass, the mirror, the glory of the Lord. And we are changed into that same image from glory unto glory. What is it? The power of assimilation. The pressure of assimilation, Lord. Divine pressure is pressing us to peer into the glass that we can see the correct thing. But all around us every day with social media, with news, with this and that and the other, the devil wants to occupy our time, our thoughts, our mind. So we'll look here and look there and look somewhere else. It's for a reason, Lord. But may we feel the divine pressure. Hallelujah! May we hear the voice of our bridegroom as he calls us. Grant it, Lord, then we will see the results of the assimilation. Think of it, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Heard about his groaning, of his precious blood, the atoning. Let's sing it together now. I repented of my sins and wandered in. Everybody, oh, there's victory. Brother Joel, go around. I say, God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. Oh, he sought me and he bought me
with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. In Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me, and then he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He launched me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he calls the blind to see. And then I cried to Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow victory. Oh, it's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. So all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but think when Caleb was there in Arba and he went and killed those three sons. That was the source of the people's trouble and their disbelief. What did they do once that doubt was removed? One man took care of the problem. And here we are, as Brother Donnie was saying, right on the verge. Who is going to stand in that position to take care of some of these problems that's going on around the message? Amen. Lord, let me stand.
Amen.
Let me stand. Give me, as we go, I'm going to sing a song that I'll just sing it. And I'll say it that way. I've never sang it here, but just listen to the words. Give me B, natural, if I can hear it. B. I believe it's perfectly clear. The end is drawing near. Message song. Our bridegroom is very soon to come. And I believe this evening light is gonna take us through the night until the time that we'll be called on home. But lest my heart should yearn for the darkness, and from this light I walk away. But lest I ever try this perfect truth deny, restore me to the faith I pray. Lead me to thy faith, I pray. I've seen many come to know this truth that I love so, but in time their faces can't be found. Faith gave way to doubt, and then they just could not stand, and it seems they've turned this gospel down. But lest my heart should yearn for the darkness, and from this light I walk away. But lest I ever try this perfect truth deny, save me from my erring ways, restore me to the faith I pray. Amen. Y'all forgive me, I had to get that one out. Amen. As we go. Amen. 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 I'm a soldier. God bless you. In the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier, I'm a soldier, yeah. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Now should I die, let me die in this army. Should I die, let me die. Here you are. Should I die, let me die. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I've got my war clothes on in this army. Got my war clothes on. I've got my war in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Now I'm a soldier, I'm a soldier, yeah. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier, I'm a soldier, yeah. I'm a soldier. I've got my sword and my shield. I'll fight the devil.